Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 23rd of March, Easter Sunday, 2008. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at MBC. A very happy Christmas to all the listeners out there. This week, unsurprisingly, our service was about Easter and Andy spoke about resurrection and what it means for us today. So we'll go over to Andy straight away as he's starting the sermon.
I wonder, what do you think is the most important day for the Christian in the church year? What's the most important day? Christmas? No? What do you think? Those that think it's Christmas? I had this conversation the other day. It was very interesting with someone. Someone says Easter. Do you think Easter is the most important day? Not sure. Good Friday? Was that the most important day? Is the Ascension? We'll remember in about 50 days' time, or 40 days' time. Is that the most important day? Or is the most important day when the Lord Jesus will come back, the day that neither you nor I know the date of? If you do know, come and have a word with me later, and I'll explain one or two things. Of course, they are all important as one another. Christmas Day is only important because of Easter Day, and so on and so forth. They are all important as one another. Easter, why is Easter so important to us? Can I have the series of slides up here? Thanks, Pauline. Why is resurrection so important for us? The resurrection is central to what it means to be a Christian. There should be one before that. No, there we are. This is the bit that I read at the very beginning of the service, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, but he was raised on the third day, and he appeared. Do you know, one of the wonderful things about the resurrection is that there is evidence for it. There is absolute evidence for it. Not least that Jesus appeared to the 12, then he appeared to a multitude. But the other thing that I love is in John's Gospel, who wrote this down, who wrote the story of the resurrection, what I love is that John says, and you can trust the testimony of the person who's writing this, because it was me. I was there. John saw it all, and he wrote it down. And so there is a great amount of evidence for the resurrection and why it is so important. But there are three things I want to just look at very briefly this morning. One is that Jesus is God. Secondly, that we can be forgiven. And thirdly, that we can be raised to eternal life. And I'll try not to be too long. There's a get-out clause. Jesus is God. That's what the resurrection teaches us. That is one of the things about the resurrection. And you know, this is one of the main stumbling blocks for people, that Jesus is God. Paul says that this whole thing about Jesus dying and coming back to life is nonsense to people like you and me, to people who, the Greeks, he said, the Gentiles. He then says it's foolishness to people like the Jews. How can God die? How can he come back to life? To some religions today, it's heresy to say that God should die. And yet the resurrection proves to us that Jesus is God. The resurrection. In Romans chapter 1 verse 4, Paul says this. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. The Holy Spirit declares with power through his resurrection that Jesus is God, that Jesus is Lord. Do you know, as I was rereading the story over this last week, there's an amazing encounter with Jesus in John chapter 18. And it's in the Garden of Gethsemane, where one of the presentations that we heard, that we saw. And Judas comes to betray Jesus. And he brings with him a load of Jewish officials and a load of Roman soldiers. And Jesus goes to greet them and he says, "Who is it you're looking for?" And Jesus said, and they said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. And Jesus, what did Jesus say in return? He said this, "I am he." And what we're told in John 18 is that all the people that were there, the Roman soldiers, the Jewish officials, they bowed down as soon as Jesus said this, "I am he." We're told they drew back and fell to the ground. What an amazing story. They had come asking, looking for Jesus. "Who are you looking for?" "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." You see, they were looking for a human. And of course, Jesus was human, but he wasn't only human. Jesus of Nazareth, that's like saying Andrew of Minehead. I'm getting grandeur. But it's like saying your name of where you come from, because it roots you in the earth. It roots you here. You are human. But Jesus said to them, "I am he." And we're told they fell to the ground. And what was going on there? Jesus was using the sacred name of God. You see, they'd come looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the human. Actually, they were confronted with, "I am," the very name of God. Now, we don't know if prior to that, Jesus had been having a conversation in their tongue of Aramaic. And at that point, he turned to Hebrew and he used the name of God, Yahweh. "I am who I am." We're not told, but we are told of this amazing reaction. And so I suggest that the Jewish officials and the Gentiles, the Roman officers, knew at that point what Jesus was saying. "I am the very person of God." Make no doubt, Jesus knew who he was. And people may say he never claimed to be God. He clearly did. He used the most sacred name of God, Yahweh. "I am," Jesus said, and they bowed down. And then he asked them again. And you know, even the disciples lost sight of who Jesus was, didn't they? Even the disciples lost sight, because despite everything on that Saturday, as we heard in our prayers, they had lost hope. On the Sunday morning, they went to the tomb and they were surprised that it was empty. They'd forgotten, they'd lost the point. They were surprised, they'd lost hope. And they said, "Where have they taken the Lord? Where have they taken him? Where have they put him?" And they lost hope. But when Jesus revealed himself to them again, when he revealed and he went up to Mary and he used her name and he said, "Mary," we're told that she turned and fell before him in worship. And then a bit later, when Jesus appeared to Thomas, you remember Thomas? Poor chap, called the doubter. He was a fantastic guy, probably just like you and me. And Jesus said, "Here are the holes in my hands, there's a hole in my side." And we're told that Thomas bowed down in worship, "My Lord and my God." Because they're in the presence, not just of a man, but of God himself. And you know, when we encounter at Easter time, and not just at Easter, but every day, we encounter the risen Lord, what is our response? Like that poem, do we say, well, we try and explain it away? Or do we bow the knee? Because he is God. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And he is Lord. The second thing the resurrection assures us of is the possibility of forgiveness. It doesn't guarantee forgiveness. It doesn't mean that we can all walk out of here and be forgiven, but it does guarantee that if we confess and repent, we will be forgiven. But we have to ask. We have to come to the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord, you did this for me." There's that story in Luke chapter 5, isn't there, where Jesus encountered a paralytic and he said to him, "My friend, your sins are forgiven." And all the Pharisees, all the religious people go, "Yeah, you can't do that. Only God can forgive sins." They got that right. Only God can forgive sins. If Jesus had remained in the grave, all his promises would have remained dead too. But the cross had to be followed by the resurrection. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, he says this: "He was delivered over to death for our sins." Jesus died for our sins. He took the punishment, Isaiah says, of our sins upon himself. That was what the cross was about. He died for our sins. But, he goes on to say, he was raised for our justification. In other words, for our forgiveness, for our cleansing. The resurrection is about our forgiveness. If the resurrection hadn't happened, Jesus' sacrifice would just have been like every other sacrifice before, temporary and partial. But the resurrection meant that the forgiveness of sins, Jesus' sacrifice, was complete. It was done, never having to be repeated again. If Jesus had not been raised, our faith is futile. We are still in our sins. If Jesus had died and been buried, that would have been amazing. But we'd have still been in our sins, as Paul says here. Apart from God, his sacrifice was only partial. But because of his resurrection, we are guaranteed forgiveness of sins for all time, if we confess and if we come in repentance. Charles Wesley wrote, he was a hymn writer, and he wrote, "He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me." Hallelujah. Amen? The resurrection proves that Jesus is God. The resurrection assures us that we can be forgiven. Thirdly, and lastly, the resurrection assures us that we can receive eternal life. I don't know if any of you, how many of you came to the Helen Shapiro concert last weekend at the Regal Theatre, but we were left in no doubt that when we die, we will either, and this isn't an old message that I'm resurrecting, this is the message, that we will either go to that place called hell, that place of torment where God is not, or we shall go to heaven to be with him, to be in that place where he is, and to live with him forever. We shall go to one or the other. We shall not end up in oblivion. We shall go to one or the other. And the only thing that makes the difference is our acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. That is the only thing. That is the ticket. Acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. How clever we are. Anyone clever here this morning? No, you're hard on yourselves. You're very clever. You're all very good looking. But that won't get you into heaven. How good you have been. How kind you have been. In what country you were born. In what family you were born. Not even how regularly you come to church. They matter not a jot. They make no difference. Just our acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives. Eternal life is something we receive, not gain. In Romans chapter 10, Paul wrote this: "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." You see, it's not just what we say. Anybody, any of us here this morning can say Jesus is Lord. Anybody out in the streets can say Jesus is Lord. But do we believe it in our hearts? If we truly believe in our heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, we will confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because it comes from in here, not from in here. Do you know, I read yesterday that there's a recent survey, and do you know, apparently 60% of people in this country believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. 60% of the population of this country believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. I don't see the difference in people's lives. They may say it with their lips, but do they believe it with their hearts? If we declare with our lips that Jesus is Lord and we believe it in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Let's pray for that 60% that they may truly know in their hearts that Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 says, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, we, and this is my version, we are wasting our time. Let's pack up, go home, have an early lunch and eat lots of chocolate. Does that sound a good idea? No. Yes. It does sound like a good idea, but we believe that Jesus is Lord. Jesus was raised from the dead. At this point, the people can say hallelujah again. And because Jesus was raised through faith in him, we too will be raised to eternal life. Hallelujah. The resurrection proves that Jesus is God. The resurrection assures us, if we ask, that we will be forgiven. And the resurrection assures us that if we believe in him, we shall have eternal life.
If you've got a comment about what you've heard on today's sermon, please go and leave a comment over on the website at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, you can always email me on podcast@minehead-baptist.com. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.